I'm joined right now by Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. Having advanced to the championship round in the playoffs this year, how much have you been able to learn about the combine guys that you're going to be talking to, watching here in a few days?
You know, I'm hurrying up to catch up, but it's a good problem to have. I think it's a problem that we all want. But over the years, I've learned to kind of informally prepare myself just by the way that I view and watch college football throughout their season. I probably come in with a better general awareness regarding the evaluation of the guys than I used to, just simply because with experience I understand the issues and I try to make good use of time and try to do a decent job of evaluating as their season's ongoing.
You said how you watch college football. How do you watch it?
You know, I watch it for entertainment purposes, but I also watch it professionally. It's probably less entertainment for me now and more professional. I look at it as opposed to watching the teams and appreciating the competition. I'm watching the talent and evaluating it.
What's a day at the combine like for you? Like, if it's a day when there are workouts,
it's very you know, it's very regimented and very productive. I think they do a great job of organizing the time. The mornings and early afternoons are spent watching the guys work, watching the workouts themselves. After that, there's a block of time late afternoon in the evening where you're writing notes, you're chronicling what you watch during the day. Things are happening so quick in the dome and watching the guys work that there's very little time for extensive note taking, but you got a short period of time if you want to capture some thoughts and things of that nature. So my day is always the writing of notes in the late afternoon and the evening about what I saw that day. And then in the evening, it gets formal again. And from roughly, you know, 6 to 10 o'clock, you're interviewing new players that night, guys that are just coming in. The way they rotate guys in, it creates a nice rhythm. You'll watch a group work out in the morning. You'll take notes and review in the afternoon, and then you'll interview the next potential group of positional guys coming in that evening.
When you watch, when you're watching what's going on the field, do you like to be by yourself? Or, you know, a lot of times, I know, even watching a game from the press box, sometimes it's good to have someone next to you watching too. You can just kind of, it's almost like an extra set of eyes.
I like having a coworker or two with me. I try to get away from people. You know, the combine has become like a trade show, a business trade show. There's a lot of informal business and side discussions and things going on. People selling things, technology, equipment, gear. I try to remove myself from as much of that stuff as I can because it's a distraction. So I try to separate myself from others, but a coworker to somebody that's with us is always good information. I always like to partner up with a scout that might have some background on the position that we're looking at more than I do, and he can help me along the way in terms of making sense of what I'm looking at.
So then, for example, fans down there at the bench press, that wouldn't be something that really interests you. Kevin Colbert was talking about that last week, saying that he hoped that they don't get away from the main purpose of it, which is football.
You know, we're there to evaluate the talent, to interview the guys, to get their medical, and it's simply that for me. It's very black and white for me, but I acknowledge there's a lot of things going on in Indianapolis now. Like I said, it's become a trade show. Informal negotiations and communications with agents and so forth, and free agency and things. I mean, it's amazing the myriad of things that goes on there in today's NFL, and the inclusion of cameras and media and fans is just an element of it. It doesn't make my task easier. It's more things for me to navigate, but that's just part of business today. I generally do a pretty decent job of keeping things black and white for myself and staying out of the line of fire of some of those things that can be a distraction.
Again, this year there's 90 plus some underclassmen who will be participating. This has been now kind of the trend, 90 plus 3 of the last 4 years, I think it is. Have you seen this? What impact has this had either on the draft, on the kind of guys you're getting as rookies when they get here? What has been the impact of this? Seems like an influx of these younger players.
You know, I think the short version of that discussion is we're seeing guys that are less complete products. There's further development. There's more upside in the young guys. And so just from a teacher's perspective, that's not a turn off to me. That's a turn on to me. I like to look at guys and forecast in areas that they could improve and how we could help them improve. I think that that's an element of it. You know, we drafted Artie Burns a year ago. He was 20 years old. In round one, we drafted Sean Davis. In round two, he was 22. So there's a difference between 20 and 22, and I think it reflected in their overall readiness. But I thought over the course of the journey, you saw the growth and development in Artie like we would anticipate. And that growth and development as a man or as a person will continue. He's probably got a chance to be the youngest guy on our team again in 17, much like the way guys like Marquise Pouncey was and Le'Veon Bell and some other third-year guys that we've done business with in the past.
This is the second year now the NFL is barring players with convictions for domestic violence, sexual assault, or weapons offenses. What's your opinion of this? Do you think this is an effective and appropriate response by the league to these kinds of situations?
I believe so. I think more than anything, it acts as a deterrent for college people. The college people can have a real understanding that, you know, they're on the clock from the time that they step on a college campus. They'll be held responsible for how they conduct themselves. And I think anything that puts a highlight on that and can help the college ranks in terms of getting the desired behavior that they want from the young people, then it's a positive. I think that, you know, participating in the National Football League is not a right, it's a privilege. And I think that's a maneuver that kind of highlights that from the very outset and lets these guys know from the very beginning the standard of expectation in terms of how they need to conduct themselves.
When, you know, a big part of this is interviews. You mentioned that. When you go into these, I mean, do you have Mike Tomlin questions that you ask, or do you go in, like, different for every guy, play it, you know, let him maybe set a tone and react off that? How's that work?
You know, I have a framework. I want to know their background, their family, where they're from, their athletic background, their experiences in athletics. I want to get a sense of their injury history. I want to get a sense of their football playing personality and character. And however I can gather that information, I will. That's the framework. But all the discussions are different because the men are different. What I know about the men is different. My prior exposure and understanding about the person or of the person really has an effect on the nature of the conversation or the interview. So there's a lot of variables in it, but in a nutshell, I'm trying to gather historic information regarding them, their playing careers, their medical history, their playing personality and football character.
I mean, are you careful not to have, not to allow there to be a book out there on you? I mean, because you know these questions, I mean, they have to get recycled and guys are expecting certain things in certain situations.
I'd imagine if there is a book out there on my interview techniques that I'm somewhat schizophrenic.
Thoughtfully non-rhythmic.
In the administration of the interview, and oftentimes I have triggers like everyone has triggers. It might be how the young man comes in the room and says hello. It might be the appearance of the young man. It might be a lot of things that take the tone of the interview in another direction or in an unanticipated direction.
The combine's a week later. I don't imagine pro days are a week later. Is there a scheduling issue this year? Is it a little tighter in the transition?
There are big-time scheduling issues. I think in the last several years as the combine and the draft has moved and maybe the college itineraries, spring itineraries and schedules have not, there's conflict there that I think we're all working to navigate. It's probably more of an issue for me and Kevin than others because Kevin and I truly buy into getting out on the road and being in the college towns and getting a feel for these young men in their environment. Others just simply use the tape and visits and the combine. So it's less of an issue for some, it's more of an issue for others. We'd probably fall into the group that is more of an issue because we like to get out and work.
I'd like to ask you now a couple things about free agency. When it comes to re-signing your own guys, is there a meeting or whatever, a discussion or input from you where you say, okay, this guy I really want. This guy, you know, if he wants to come back at a rate that's friendly to us, okay. This guy I have no interest in. I mean, is there ever that kind of discussion, and do you do that kind of thing?
Very much so. Those discussions happen between Art and Kevin and myself, and you know, it's done formally, but probably done informally in a lot of ways throughout the course of a calendar year. When we actually sit down for that actual meeting, I think we all got a pretty decent understanding of what direction that meeting is going to go per player, just based on the informal communication daily that we all share over the course of a season.
Have you heard from Ben?
Yes.
And seriously, Steelers Nation is on pins and needles. What did you two guys talk about? And, you know, is there any white smoke coming out of the chimney? Decision,
you know,
made?
We talked about how lovely the weather was in Cali and the great time he's having with Ash and the kids. You know, there's going to be plenty of time for formal talk and moving forward talk. Right now he's just unwinding, and rightfully so. It was a long, tough season. He's been doing it a long time. I'd imagine at the appropriate time the juices will flow in the right direction. But again, the conversations to this point hadn't been in those areas.